I know people who have like 20.
Well, come on, we're in Santa Barbara.
Oh, you see that pivot at the end there? Did y'all catch that? She went from saying, oh, I don't know, like 6 or 7 to like admitting that they're actually higher than that. And she's like, well, we live in California. We live in this liberal area. So of course it's going to be higher. You see that shift at the very end? People will not give you more than what they think you need to serve their purposes. This is an unavoidable fact. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to discuss, are most men weak? Now, that's an incendiary statement. We all know this. However, I believe there could be some truth to this statement. It could be in the realm of relationships. That might be the first thing that comes to your mind. It might be in the sense of politics that might come to your mind. Or maybe you've just been consuming so much content that you see the inherent weakness, and especially younger men's demeanor and their actions and their disposition to taking risk and their desire for security. This whole concept of security, by the way, is a very new and modern concept. You go to World War II and before that, there was not this even security in the United States. They just come out of the Great Depression. They came out of the biggest bank failure probably in American history. There was not a common shared desire for security. They valued more individualism and freedom, versus today, people are all too willing and happy to trade their freedom for security, which we're going to get into in depth and in detail. But we're going to attack this from multiple different approaches. One, we're going to discuss it from a relationship standpoint. We got video clips that will give you some food for thought on that standpoint. Second, we're going to look at the political realm, and we're going to see how this might affect and play out on the world stage, whether it's in our country or around the world, and we're going to see how this slow drip has been going on really since World War I, but we're going to start from World War II because that's just too much. Most people, as soon as they hear World War I or II, they immediately fall asleep and they're bored and they don't want to hear it anymore because boring. Eisenhower, boring, but we can already really trace it back to Douglas MacArthur, who was the supreme commander in the Pacific in World War II, wanting to blow up the dams in China because he saw what China was going to become in the reconstruction of post-World War II, but was stopped and ceremoniously fired by Eisenhower to prevent this from happening. So we could trace it all the way back to that if we really wanted to. But we're going to move a little more forward because most people don't care about history. If history tells you anything, it's that most people don't read history and they don't pay attention to it. So we'll sneak it in and in a fun form later on in the show. But before we get started, I want to invite you to speak your piece, to let your voice be heard. If you want to sound off at any point during the show, could be at the very beginning, could be at the very end, anywhere in between. I'd love to have you share your thoughts, your feelings, your comments, insights, anything. I think it's incredibly important both for you and for the rest of the audience. But without further ado, we're going to stop waffling and we're going to jump right into the first part of today's show. And that, my friends, is explaining why a lot of men are weak today. And it might not be for the reason you think. This is Pastor Mark Driscoll. I went to his church a couple times when I was in Arizona. I believe him to be on the right track with a lot of issues, but we don't agree on everything. But I want to hear what he has to say. Let's hear what he's got to say. But before we do that, I want to encourage you that even if you disagree with me or you disagree with any of the comments made throughout the show today, just know that you're not going to be alone with your dissent and you're welcome to voice your opinion. I don't care if you agree with me 100% or if you disagree. You're welcome to discuss it. Well, let's jump into it and see what he has to say.
Most men today, their problem is overmothered, underfathered. Still in their 20s and 30s, living at home with their mother being overmothered and underfathered. A mother's instinct is to protect and to nourish and to keep him from harm's way, which is exactly what he needs when he's a baby. But when he becomes a grown man, he needs a father to say, you know what? Life is about risk. and responsibility. Go get a job or you will be hungry. Get off the payroll. Take responsibility for yourself. It's time to man up. It's time to grow up. And don't run to your mother. There's something in a young man that longs for that. There's something in a young man that says, yes, now I'm with my father. And my father is teaching me how to be a man so that one day I can be a father. Most.
That's a great point. Great point. Again, this stems back to what we've discussed on the show multiple times, which is the inherent problem with single motherism. If you look at statistical data, single mothers are the worst parents. Now, ideally, you want a two-parent household. But if you can't have that, single fathers still do significantly better than single mothers. Reason being, because the fathers tend to instill discipline into their children, and they tend to hold them to a higher standard. And a lot of women, they don't do this. They are naturally wanting to protect the children, even from hard times that would help them grow as people, but instead they protect them from, for example, it's like this. If you put your hand on the hot stove, yeah, it's going to hurt a lot, and it's probably going to mess up your hand a little bit, but you're going to learn, hey, I'm not going to touch that stove. But instead, if the mom keeps slapping your hand away, preventing you from making choices that will lead you to learn, even if it's the hard way, that's a problem. And the older you get, the worse it's going to become, because the more unlikely it is that you're going to be able to have minimized consequences for these bad choices. And these play out in the prison statistics, where we see that single mother raised men, especially, end up in prison or in gangs or doing illicit substances. And unfortunately, this is the case. I wish I could tell you it's the opposite, like the mainstream normies who tout. Mother's Day was yesterday, or 2 days ago, probably, when the show goes out on the air. It'll have happened 2 days ago. And I swear to you, as God is my witness, I went into church on Sunday, and the pastor was talking about praising single mothers. The radio, Christian radio, talking about praising single mothers. Single mothers are not to be praised. Not in this society, no, because guess what? Their kids are fueling the prison industrial complex. The modern slavery is the prison industrial complex, where they get to work for free because it's a loophole in the 14th Amendment that allows them to basically be indentured servants, basic slaves, when they're in prison. But of course, you don't hear about that. And you also don't hear that a lot of the people who own the rap labels, the hip-hop labels, and whatnot also own the private prisons. You don't hear about these things. Why? Because people don't do research, and this is why a lot of men are weak, because they don't arm themselves with knowledge. Speaking of which, with knowledge, let's jump into the next reason why, in this humble rabbi's opinion, that men are weak in this new generation. Let's hear what he has to say. Oh, hold on. Oh, man. Did they really not give me audio? Sounds not available on his video. Oh, man. Let's see what the general gist of what he's saying. He's saying that's weak. Let's see. What do you say? Why? What are you saying? Let's skip to the middle. Demoralized. This is a great point. He's saying that men are demoralized and emasculated. If you don't realize there's no sound on this video, I want to read what he's saying. Why is that the case, Rabbi? He's saying, okay, I disagree with him here. He's saying that women, it's not because of the misandry that we see in a lot of culture. I disagree. I think a lot of men are so beaten down in society. There is an old story in Norse mythology about Fenrir the wolf. He was said to be one of the few beasts that could defeat Odin. He was destined to defeat Odin. So what did Odin do? Odin treated him like the wild, rabid animal that he saw him. He was not rabid. He was not evil. He had no malicious intent. But then Fenrir inevitably became the very monster that Odin was trying to prevent him from becoming. It's like if you're treated as a villain long enough, you will become that villain because you'll accept the role given to you. And a lot of men have accepted the role given to them. And that's the rabbi's point, at least from what I'm seeing. His point is, if men are willing to, so many men are willing to accept this role that they're given as, oh, you're no good, you're deadbeats, you have no purpose, you're not valuable, you are not important. They're going to believe these things on a subconscious level, and then it's going to come to the forefront. It's going to go from the subconscious to the conscious, and then from the mouth to the hands. And before you know it, the men are no longer men, and they're more pocketbooks with short hair. They're more pack mules for their wives. They're more public servants to serve this, to be subservient and servile to the social system put forward by the politicians and by the people who fund their campaigns. What do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen of the Sheep Get Sheared podcast? Do you agree? Disagree? Because it's just in the realm of politics. And we're in the realm of politics, I could see that being the case. I could even see that being true in the relationships, because we haven't really discussed relationships yet. But we're going to shift gears, and we're going to go right into relationships. A lot of you gentlemen, let me know if you can relate to this. You are treated like a utility, you're treated like you don't matter, and unless you're Chad, Tyrone, or some dude who's attractive, you have status, you have money, unless you have something going for you, even if it's, you're the, I don't know, the most educated, you're the highest grades, the valedictorian, whatever. Unless you have something that the women can attach on to, be proud that they're there, they don't see you. I've made this point on the show before, that if you ask the average, if you walk down the street with a man and ask him how many women they walked by, he will probably have a pretty good guess of how many because he checked each and every one of them out. Whereas if you go walk down the street with a woman, she might saw one guy, two guys tops, because all the rest were either broke looking, ugly looking. They were not mate material to her. So she immediately threw them out and subconsciously let them go, didn't even realize they existed. But then we get into the realm of, well, all these men at the top are sharing the same women, which is what is going to be shown in this clip from the Whatever podcast. Shout out to them. We're going to see what this conversation is about.
People your age, let's say between 18 and 20.
Yeah.
What would you say is, like, for a girl? Maybe you know some girls. What would you say is, like, the average body count for that age range?
Especially with, like, college life. I feel like at the beginning of college, most people have around, like, 6 or 7, I would say.
Really?
Most people that I know.
What about saying the average girl loses her virginity at 18? Yes.
I know people who have like 20. Talking. Well, come on, we're in Santa Barbara.
Oh, you see that pivot at the end there? Did y'all catch that? She went from saying, I don't know, like 6 or 7 to like admitting that they're actually higher than that. And she's like, well, we live in California. We live in this liberal area. So of course it's going to be higher. You see that shift at the very end? People will not give you more than what they think you need to serve their purposes. This is an unavoidable fact. And I know a lot of people get very unhappy when we bring this body count conversation in, because immediately some people shut down. They don't want to hear it. They don't like it. It makes them uncomfortable. They don't want to listen to it. Well, I'm sorry, but it's for men, it's a real issue. For men who are actually looking to commit, I'll make that stipulation. For men who are trying to commit to women, have families, serious girlfriends, wives, concubines, these matter, okay? Men are not going to invest into people. Smart men are not going to invest into people who are a bad investment. If that's like me saying, hey, I'm looking to buy a property. Am I going to look at the and I'm not equating women to property. This is a metaphor before people freak out and go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Let's pretend for 2 seconds, okay, that I'm an investor and I'm looking to invest in a stock. We'll change it to stocks, okay, so people don't go absolutely ballistically cuckoo bananas. Let's switch it to stocks. Let's say I'm an investor, right, and I want to invest in a stock. And I look at the stock price and I look at the stock history. Oh, well, this thing is looking like a patient in cardiac arrest. I don't like that. That's not very stable. I can't have a long-term investment like this with confidence, because this thing's going up and down like a patient in cardiac arrest. I'm not going to deal with that. That doesn't sound like a good investment. Versus if I look over here, stage left, and I say, oh, really? Okay, well, this stock, yeah, it has its ups and downs a little bit, but it's not as major. You know, it's pretty steady, and it's slowly going up. It might peter off a little, but it's slowly on the way up, and it's going to appreciate in value. And I can have reasonable trust in the fact that this company, this stock, is going to go up. Because make no mistake about it, you have a social security number that makes you a corporate entity. A marriage is a merger. A marriage is a merger between two corporations, you and your spouse. That is a merger of two corporations. That's why in a divorce, there is a corporate dissolvement. And now you have to split up assets to each corporation as equally as possible. That's the whole point. That's why our system works this way. I know people don't like to equate business with pleasure, but in this case, it's very apt and it's very straightforward. So this is why a lot of men care about body count. Women, apparently they're saying that women care about this too, and there's this video to prove it. But gentlemen, we had a little talk about body count from the male perspective. Let's hear from the female perspective. What the ladies got to say?
What body count is a deal breaker?
One?
Right.
One too many.
Oh, man.
Well, it should be over one.
No.
No, like double digits to me.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
More than 10. Oh, 15. 15, yeah. Over 20.
Over 20?
Yes.
No. Okay.
25. 105. I don't care.
Oh, you don't care?
No.
It's like 10,000.
Oh, above 10. That's too many. That's
really?
A fucking whore.
Okay. In case you didn't know, they were talking about men. They were talking about male body count. First of all, gentlemen, I don't want you to fall for this fake news. Shout out to Donald Trump. Let's not fall for fake news here. Make no mistake about it. Nobody really cares about male virginity, just so we're clear. It is not a virtue for a man. I'm sorry to tell you this. I know this goes against what you've been taught, but male virginity is something that does not have value attached to it, really. And I'm not the first one to discuss this. Esther Vilar, in her book, The Manipulated Man, she talks about this subject in very explicit detail, which I will not do because I'm not trying to get my video age restricted. But what I will do is have a frank discussion about this. What do you think? Do you think that, ladies, if you're here, I would love for you to sound off. Do you think body count matters for men? Because I can tell you from personal experience that the more body count you have as a man, the more women are intrigued by you. Because, you see, if you look at what women do, they do what they want you to do. When women want to talk about, all these men are interested in me, we as men, we're repulsed by that. We are not like, oh, wow, all these dudes like this chick? Wow, I'm suddenly more interested. No, men don't operate like that. We don't do that. What? Instead, what we do is we say, that's not good. I mean, it's kind of repulsive to us. Versus you flip the script and you have a man, all these women like this guy. The women, what they say is, oh, wow. Why are these women interested in this guy? Is there like, there's something about him that maybe I missed that I don't see? Well, now I gotta know because now I'm curious. And now they gotta figure it out. You see how that works? But women think that because they like that, then men like that, and this is false. And men think that because we're repulsed by options, that if we have no options, that women are going to like that. No, it's the exact opposite. And this is why a lot of men are perplexed by women, because they're trying to love them, not understand them. And most women, they don't care to understand men, because let's be honest, most men are easy. If you look, most of the time, all one has to do is arch her back and suddenly a man could have been angry 2 seconds ago, and he don't care anymore, because he's going to let her off the hook, because he horny. Period. Now, am I saying that every man is going to do that? No. Am I saying that most men do that? Unfortunately, yes. And that is why women really don't have to, quote, act right, because most dudes are down bad, they're horny, and they'll let them get away with whatever they want, as long as they get what they want, and that's part of the reason why I say that a lot of men in this, my generation, Gen Z, some of the millennials, even some of Gen Alpha, the older ones, they're kind of weak because they're letting people get away. Men in general who are very inexperienced are very weak when it comes to standing their ground and returning down intimacy. A mark of a man is not how much intimacy you've had, but how much intimacy you've turned down in the pursuit of your goal, in the pursuit of bettering your life and being a more higher achieving successful man. Any successful dude who has a net worth over a certain amount of money, he'll tell you he does not care about how much intimacy he's getting. He does not care. Why? Because it's not an accomplishment for him. It's pretty easy. It's the same thing as going to Taco Bell or to Pizza Hut for most people who are broke. That's the way it works. But you see, people who are broke, I saw a quote on Twitter the other day. I should have pulled it up for the show, but I didn't do it. There was a quote that a woman said, ironically. I didn't expect a woman to say this, but a woman literally says in the comment section of some post talking about men being mad, and she's like, only broke men don't like 304s. And I was like, wow. Well, that's interesting.
This is the worst kind of discrimination. The kind against me.
I mean, I don't think she's wrong. I mean, when's the last time you heard a guy who was extremely rich talk about how he don't like 304s? No, he's the one paying them to drop neck and do all these things. I mean, he's not mad. Why would he be mad about that? It's the guys that are getting priced out of the marketplace, the guys who don't have options, the guys who are unfulfilled that are the most unhappy with in the most red pill rage. And I understand that because I myself have been in that situation. I'm not talking down to you. We're just putting proper perspective into this conversation. Now, let's return back to the freedom versus security argument, okay? Because this extends both to the political realm, the relationship realm, real life realm. Let's look to Jordan Peterson. Shout out to the Daily Wire. I don't agree with them on a lot of things they do, frankly. But I like Jordan Peterson. And so let's see what he has to say in this conversation with this gentleman here who I don't recognize. Let's see what they have to say.
If you go to the airport, of course, all of us now are so acclimated to it, it seems normal. But the idea that everybody just so dutifully takes off their shoes and takes off their belt, it's a kind of petty authoritarianism. No one's being in prison for it. No one's being shot. But what it is all, it's almost more insidious because of that, because exactly as you say, it started conditioning people that in the name of safety, we need to unquestioningly obey authority, kind of submit to whatever humiliations, whatever orders we're told to do, and to watch the American conservative movement that was so steadfast in their opposition to the idea of federal government power in the 1990s immediately turn around and start meekly taking off their shoes at airports and doing everything that they were told and going through these machines in the name of safety, I think was quite transformative. And I do think it started training Americans to accept the kinds of infringements on their autonomy in the name of safety that even just a couple of years earlier would have been unthinkable.
That's a very interesting point. I think he's right in a lot of ways, actually. Now, let's be totally frank for 2 seconds. Most of the conservative movement's kind of dead. The reason I say that is because what does the conservative movement actually stand for today? I mean, it used to stand for God, guns, and God. Sorry. No, actually, that's not what it stood for, but it stood on guns, God, and gays. What it used to stand for back in the day. But today, what does the conservative movement really stand for? I mean, there are some that stand for borders, language, and culture. Shout out to Michael Savage, the creator of that saying. But again, we look at the conservative movement, a lot of them, the tradcons, as people like to call them today, they're very out of touch in a lot of ways because they talk about what should be and not what we're dealing with right now and how they're going to fix it. Or how they would fix it if they could. A lot of people live in the world of their own design. They fall for their own illusions and they fall for their own traps. And we as men and women who think for ourselves on this channel, that we should strive to say, you know what? I see the world for what it is. I see the world for what it currently, where it's going, where it's been. And I need to decide whether I want to try to change it or if I'm going to simply accept it and I'm going to adapt myself, my worldview, and my approach to achieving my goals in the appropriate way so that it's realistically achievable. And so I'm not falling for the fantasies created by others or by myself, which is the most dangerous kind, by the way. A lot of people will be gaslit into oblivion by society and by themselves into thinking that they can't achieve their goals and that they're crazy. And a lot of people, it works on them. And I talked about World War I and World War II in the past of the slow drip, drip, drip to get where we are today, both with relationships and with religion and politics. Hopefully I don't get a copyright for this because this is a clip I really want to show. I think it's extremely pregnant with good purpose to this conversation. I'm going to fair use the clip from YouTube on the Winter Soldier. This is a scene some of you probably have seen before. If this does get... I hope this doesn't get copywritten. I'm going to fair use this. We're going to break it down piece by piece. If you see me pause a lot, that's the reason why. But we're going to really break this down. This is a scene where Steve Rogers and Natasha Romanoff see Armin Zola, and they talk about how Hydra grew in the shadow of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this is very closely equated to today with how these more progressive communist socialist viewpoints have kind of grown in the capitalist accepting tolerant society that has been turned inside out. So let's see what this clip has, and let's break it down.
You are standing in my brain.
How did you get here?
Invited.
This Operation Paperclip after World War II, S.H.I.E.L.D. recruited German scientists with strategic value.
See, that's a great point out the gate. That's exactly what the United States did with the German and Soviet scientists after World War II. They recruited the ones they could because the Cold War immediately started before the ink dried on the treaty that was signed right after World War II. We need to understand this type of... Once we understand that there were a lot of Nazi and Soviet scientists that were recruited to the United States after World War II, and a lot of the immigrants that came in from those countries in that area were seeped and steeped in socialist ideology, we'll soon start to see how the education system and how the power of government itself followed suit.
I could help their cause. I also helped my own.
Bingo.
Died with the Red Skull.
Cut off one head, two more shall take its place.
That's a great analogy, straight out the gate. Again, I'm pausing for fair use purposes because I need to. I don't want this to get copywritten because this is a very, very important point when we're discussing freedom versus security. And I know this is Marvel, so it's not real, it's imaginary, but it's based off of real events that are happening in real time right now, and you might not even realize it. People might mistake fiction for pure fantasy versus a metaphor for what is currently happening and dancing around complicated using Aesopian language.
Prove it.
Accessing archive. Hydra was founded on the belief that humanity could not be trusted with its own freedom.
Does that sound familiar to anybody? Humanity can't be trusted with its own freedom? Does that sound familiar? The UN, maybe? A lot of these organizations that are secret societies that are known about by name, but a lot of people don't know how they truly operate. Skull and Bones, the Illuminati, the New World Order, all these kind of secret societies. Sound familiar? Let's continue.
What we did not realize was that if you try to take that freedom, they resist. The war taught us much. Humanity needed to surrender its freedom willingly.
That's extreme. Again, let's equate this to the modern day. Look at how social media, look at how mainstream media, look at how government has censored and changed the narrative to try to make it seem like they should be the ones to protect you instead of you protecting yourselves from them. That was how the government was set up. It was so that they were supposed to protect you, but not from yourselves, but from them. They were not supposed to help you protect yourself they're trying to protect you from your own bad choices, which is part of taking your freedom and trading it for their brand of security, which is just control. You cannot give someone protection and security without them exerting control over you. And that's part of the reason why a lot of people are opposed to government control, which they mask as security.
After the war, S.H.I.E.L.D. was founded, and I was recruited. The new Hydra grew, a beautiful parasite inside S.H.I.E.L.D.
Again, I'm not here to tell you conspiracy theories or anything like that, but what I will say is please use your own imagination and understand that a lot of what they're saying in this clip, you might think is pure fantasy. And of course, the names Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all this is not based on real... They're not real organizations, but they're based off of real ideas in real agencies that do exist. So just keep that in mind as we continue to break down this clip. We need to understand that there is some fantasy reality overlap here, and this is why Marvel used to be good. In a lot of ways, it's really fallen off because there's so much in this one clip, much less the entire movie, that is so pregnant with great lessons.
For 70 years, Hydra has been secretly feeding crisis, reaping war.
Sound familiar? The military-industrial complex, politicians making millions, if not billions, of dollars off of the various bombing runs and wars started in the Middle East and across the world, you know, like Ukraine and whatnot. Sound familiar to anybody?
And when history did not cooperate, history was changed.
I mean, I'm gonna plead the fifth on this one, because if I say too much, I might get thrown off the internet, but there might be, you know, certain figures who might have red, you know, not red hair, orange hair, or, you know, certain people who seem to be protected from all attacks, all scandals, you know, maybe a little bit, history getting changed, certain people is getting assassinated, certain people getting removed from power, you know, maybe. Sound familiar to anybody?
That's impossible. Shield would have stopped you.
Accidents will happen.
Man, I'm telling you. If you don't see the overlap here, I don't know what to tell you. This could be anything from social movements to actual political events. So many things are covered up in the... The one part he hasn't mentioned yet is the media industrial complex, prison industrial complex, the military industrial complex. Everything is all tied together, and when you realize that big money is behind so much of it, and it's all about money and following the money, you'll quickly realize how much of this is really eerie and comparable to real events.
Hydra created a world so chaotic that humanity is finally ready to sacrifice its freedom to gain its security.
Just think about that statement alone. Look at how many times in the last 50 years we've gone from people being very rigid individualists to the government wanting, we want health care from the government. Some people want universal basic income from the government. They want the federal government to control pretty much everything because they want everything for nothing. And they want the government to give it to them by taking it from other people. They want the government to give them a living, to give them security, to give them everything, and they're trading away their freedom to get it. Nothing is ever free. Law 40, the 48 Laws of Power from Robert Greene, says despise the free lunch, where it is either something that is not worth having or something that comes with strings attached. And so when we get into this conversation of are men weak, a lot of them are, because we're trading away comfort. We're trading away our freedom and our ability to produce and fail for security, for comfort, and for not. And in doing so, we're trading away the very thing our ancestors fought for, whether they were from this country, from around the world. Our ancestors did not suffer so that we could live in comfort, trading away all their hard work. My friends, whether it's religion, relationships, politics, a lot of men are becoming weak and soft on these issues, and both men and women are to blame on this, in my opinion. We've let the women run roughshod over the men, and a lot of the men who are weaker are getting into higher places in government and in social media and in the mainstream media, trying to put the strong men in their pretzel and in chains. And we need this to stop, because there's an old saying that says that weak men create hard times create strong men, strong men create good times create weak men, and then weak men create hard times. And we're going into that cycle of weak men creating hard times, and we need it to stop, and we need the strong men to come back. I'm not just saying strong men as in men who are all things good. Even men who are, quote, toxically masculine can have a real presence. Just look at certain figures that have come across the internet in the last 5 to 10 years, and how much change they've cultivated and caused men to reevaluate their stances and all of this propaganda that they're steeped in. My friends, I encourage you to think for yourself and not let your schmendrick do the thinking and let your brain do most of it. It'll save your life. To do your own research and to question everything you heard today. And please share your comments below. My friends, you take care of yourselves in the meantime and let me know what you think. Take care. Peace.